If this is your first time here, we want to say it's really good to have you here. And if this is not your first time, well, it's just good to see you again. hold on, I'm setting my laptop here. And I got to get my water because this whole week, I don't know about you, but I've been fighting a cold. It's kind of been going around the house. Kai's been sick, and I've just been, I'm struggling. But I got enough juice just to get me through today. Then I'll take a nap when I get home. All right. Oh, I forgot my phone. I actually need my phone today for scripture. All right. So if you are here, if you've been here, we've been in the middle. Well, actually, this is the end of a series now. Well, we were looking at our church's vision and mission. And last year, we actually took a look at it. We had some leaders get together. We had a retreat. And we discussed, is our vision, just kind of vision casting. And not that there's anything wrong with our last vision. Our last vision was great. Like, who says no to that? Like, we exist to share to live out the love of Christ in our families, our communities, around the world. And, like, who would argue with that? That's an amazing vision. But we decided that we had the only difficulty with that vision was that it was a bit vague. We don't know, when we're accomplishing the goal. We don't know, what is a win, So we actually got some leaders together, and we actually relaunched our vision. So the first Sunday this year, our 2020 vision, 2020 and beyond, was that we want to see more people do life with Jesus. And it's perfect. It's just so crystal clear to what it is we want to accomplish as a church. And we believe that is done. Our mission is that if we could provide people a place to encounter, experience, and express Jesus, inevitably, we will see more people do life with Jesus. And, we're doing this, and we're hoping that you would see the value in what it is that Pioneer Park Church is wanting to accomplish. And then, therefore, you would just say that, I want to be in. We would love it if you would just be in for that, to be passionate in joining us to figure out our goal, or to meet our goal. Now, our goal, what is it you ask? I know, so many things to get to. Our goal is this year, we actually would love to see 30 people baptized. And, that sounds kind of crazy. You don't measure spirituality, but we realize that if you don't really have a goal, we're not really going to work towards something. And a goal is really good because it helps you keep aim. And you know what? If we do not see 30 people baptized, we see 20 people, we're going to celebrate that. If we see 10 people, we're going to celebrate that. If we see 5 people, we're going to celebrate that. And if we see no people, then we have to relook at our structure and strategy. We're not number hungry. We just want to work towards a goal. So there are a few things that have changed the way that we do life. For example, when I got my first car, I had so many more friends. Everyone loved me. Everyone loved me. But when you get your first car, life is different, okay? You're not limited by, I have to go to this grocery store because it's in walking distance. I can go to a movie, I can come home late. I don't have to ask people for a drive. And for me, that was good. It was just I like that level of freedom. The next thing that changes the way you do life is when you get an income. You start making money, I can start, splurging a little more here and there. Netflix, that's changed the way we do life a lot. It's for me, it's kind of changed the way I do, before I go to bed, I'll watch a show or something like that. Podcasts are fantastic. It's changed the way I just drive in my car. If I got a long drive, I'm knocking out a podcast and learning and, experience and listening to influential leaders. And lastly, credit cards. They change the way we do life. And sometimes not for the best, sometimes for the worst, but you know what? It does change the way we do life. So why am I saying all this? Because we're looking at, in the series, we looked at encounter, experience, and this week we're looking at expressing Jesus and how that changes the way that we do life. So if you want to follow along, our sermon notes are on the YouVersion app. If you have no idea what I'm talking about and you want to follow along, there is someone at the welcome booth who will help you with that afterwards if you have any questions. So we're looking at this. We want to see more people do life with Jesus. That's what we want. And the first point today is pretty basic, is that God wants to do life with you. See, we look at the Bible, and you know what? If we want to boil the Bible down to three words, you could boil it down to God with us. I was watching a video yesterday, and I actually stole that from the pastor. But yeah, the Bible, you know, it's all about God wanting to do life with us. Sure, we see how glorious he is, but the story of the Bible, the narrative, just talks about a God who is passionate to do life with his people. We see that in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, God creates people and he wants to do life with them. He's passionate about living in community with them, providing for them. He gives them this tree called the tree of life, which, you know, they are to, you know, they can eat from it, and it's good. Like, we see that God is just invested in people. He wants to do life with them. And we just celebrated Christmas in December. And we celebrated Jesus coming to earth so he could win us back so we can do life with him. In Easter, we're going to be looking at Jesus, you know, his death. He died on a cross, a violent death, so he can do life with us. And after Jesus dies, he resurrects and he sends his Holy Spirit to live with us so he can do life with us and that we can join him in what he's doing, his mission. So I'm actually in the process of being ordained right now. And in the process of being ordained, they asked me, what's my life verse? And man, there's so many verses in the Bible you want to structure your life with. And I'm choosing between a couple, but there's one verse that's really been standing out to me, and it also really just shows where we are, and it's John 10:10, where Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm the good shepherd, and you know, I've come to give all people a very satisfying life, a good life. You know, some translations say the abundant life, the full life. And it's not talking about riches, like I want you to be wealthy. It's like, no, I want you to be full. I want you to have me. And that is the full life. And I'm leaning on that one right now. But what does life with Jesus actually look like? So if we look at the Bible, Jesus talks to God in his prayer, and he says, you know, eternal life is life with you. I've come so that they can have life with you. And here's the thing. When you have Jesus as in life, when you have him and you do life with him, he's your provider, he's your guide, he's your caregiver. He blesses you and channels that blessing so that you can bless other people. He also gives us a life that goes beyond, you know, physical body limitations, because it's not restricted by time. Like, this is the full life that God has for you and I. When we do life with God, and I'm just knocking out a lot of things at once, you know, he brings light to the dark areas in your life, those things you want to keep private because you're afraid it can go south. Well, he actually comes and he actually brings light to something that doesn't seem like light will never shine there. He brings peacefulness to chaotic moments, and he brings hope to situations that just seem hopeless. He gives joy when, you know, even when you're sad, there's something there. And lastly, he gives you this new identity as a child of God. We've talked a lot about what it means to be a child of God, but that's what life with Jesus looks like. So now we know what Jesus wants. Now we know what God wants. How does he go about doing it? Well, I said earlier that he sends his Holy Spirit that we can join him in mission. God uses people to reach people. In the Old Testament, actually, you know, there's a really cool quote an influential pastor told me. He said, found people, find people. It's like three words. It's amazing. Found people, find people. I love that. In the Old Testament, we see that God uses his people. He appoints people to call back the nation of Israel to him. We see that in the New Testament, that God uses his church to reach the world. In fact, Israel, like the people of God in the Old Testament, their identity was to be like God's instrument, chosen instrument. And their identity was to bring, like, be a light to the nations. That's so God has always been interested in using people to reach people. And you know, there's one part of the Bible that I like a lot because it says it so clearly. If you look at the conversion of the Apostle Paul, like the greatest missionary in Christianity, you know, he says when he's in his conversion experience, when God encounters him, what happens is that he was talking about him. He says, you know, I've chosen this man, Saul. His name was Saul at the time. I've chosen him to be my instrument. He is my chosen instrument. So there is no separation between your call to be a Christian and your call to mission, purpose, your life. If you call yourself a Christian, you have a mission in your life, you have a purpose in your life, and you have a mandate to reach and love people. 2 weeks ago, Craig taught that it's better to encounter Jesus than to be encountered by the world. You know, ads are just, you know, I mean, ads are annoying. When you're on your phone, you're like, the world wants to encounter you to buy their stuff. Always. But Jesus wants to encounter you to give you something greater. Last week, Craig talked about experiencing Jesus. And as he said, there is nothing better than to experience Jesus. Other things want to take from you, but Jesus just wants to give to you. Experiencing life with Jesus is better. And today, I'm looking at expressing Jesus. Why is it better to express Jesus than not to? Because you know you're getting a more comfortable life if you're not doing that. Like, it's almost like, hey, do you want to work? Well, no, I don't want to work. Why would I want to? But in this case, it's actually, you know, being a child of God, being a missionary of God is better than ignoring your calling. So probably should start off, what does it mean to express Jesus in the first place? What does that even mean? It's a term that Craig and I have been throwing around the office, but it probably needs a little unpacking because, well, no one can read my mind. But God is love, God is patient, God is kind, God is generous. So when we encounter, when we express God, we've encountered a God who's kind, so we express God by being kind. You know, if God has been good to you, you know, you show goodness to other people. If God has been generous to you, you be generous to people. That's what expressing Jesus is like. It's not just giving because you can give. It's giving because God has given you so much that you're compelled to give. So religion is just, I'm giving because I was told to, or I'm giving because if I do this, something's going to work out for me. But Christianity is more like we give because we've been given so much. We can't not give. If we don't give, if we don't respond by expressing Jesus, something in us isn't quite right. We want to give because we're compelled to give. And when we give and when we express Jesus, the hope, not the purpose, but the hope is that people will see God in us, and they will also want to encounter God as well. We hope that they will encounter God through our expression of God. So that's what it means to express Jesus. And here's the thing now, like, how do you tell people, you know, doing something that you might not want to do is better? Well, I'll tell you, expressing Jesus is better for, like, multiple reasons. I'll give you three. The first one is that when we express God, it's good for you. We're led to a deeper life, a deeper encounter, and a deeper experience when we express Jesus. So there is this cycle, and you know, we did encounter, experience, and express in this order for a reason, because first we, you know, we engage with God, and then we, you know, like, wow, this is awesome. And then after that, it's okay, he's awesome, here you go. And you can't express if you've never encountered. It just doesn't work that way. So it all starts with encountering. So I've been a Christian for many years now, almost like 15 years almost, I don't know. I don't quite know the year, I don't know, it's blurry to me. But I think it was one of my early teens. And it was wonderful. I became a Christian, and you know, I remember, you know, just a good life. I've been a Christian for like many years. And one day, Lauren and I, we were at the gas station. And this was a bit strange, okay? Usually when two people are in a car and they pay for gas, the way it works is this. One person, usually the driver, will go pump the gas, and then he'll either go and pay for the gas, or sometimes it's he'll pump the gas and the passenger goes to pay. Either or. And I noticed that Lauren and I, we stopped for gas, and we actually didn't do that. I pumped gas, and then she decided to walk in with me. I noticed it was different, but like I'm not going to say anything. It's cool, you know, why not? It's a good thing I didn't open my mouth either. Because when we got into the gas station to pay for gas, there was a clerk behind the counter, and she was, you know, probably a young girl, maybe in her 20s, early 20s. And I was trying to be a good, you know, good person, you know, trying to be nice. Hi, how are you? How you doing? Busy today? Good weather? Conversation. And something, now I would say, I never say God told me, but God prompted me. Steve, you got to pray for this person. I'm like, what? Okay. So I told this lady behind the counter, hey, you know, this is going to seem maybe weird. I don't know. I'm a Christian, and, you know, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. So Lauren and I are standing there, and I'm telling you, this is like a 15 to 20 second transaction. God, you know, I know you're good. I know you love people. You care about people. People are like your priority. You know, can you just take care of our friend here? Help her with whatever she's going on in her life. I prayed that. And, you know, amen, opened her eyes. And you know, she was uplifted. Something happened in that moment. I can't explain, because you can almost see the difference between someone who is like downcast and someone who's uplifted. So I would say God did something in that moment to impact that person. And that's expressing Jesus. That's one way of expressing Jesus. Now, the reason why it was strange that Lauren came in with me, when we left the gas station, Lauren said, Steve, I was going to tell you to do that. It was impressed upon me to tell you to do that. So that was expressing Jesus. And that's just one way it's done. But, you know, we don't just, expressing Jesus just isn't praying for people. It's also my dad. He's the best at sharing God's character. My dad purposes himself every day. You know, I'm going to love people. I'm going to care for people. My dad works in the service department of a car dealership. And his customers, he treats them like amazing, like royalty. He treats them very nice. And one time, well, I'll tell you that story after, but my dad is really good at making sure that people are listened to, cared for, and provided for at his workplace. That is also showing and expressing God's love. And you know what happens? The reason why it's good for you is because after I prayed with that person and Lauren and I left, what happened to me was that I feel like I was given another encounter with God. God says, Steve, do this. And okay, I do it. And then I see that, wow, God, you just did something wonderful. You really can bring light to dark areas. And you know, it led me to a greater experience now. So when we express Jesus, it leads us to a greater encounter of Jesus and a greater experience. When we express God, it's good for us because we get to experience the God who calls us. And you know, when you see God enough times, maybe come through with something or do something, you realize, wow, God, you really are faithful. You really could do these things that, you know, the Bible tells you can do. It brings you a greater joy, a greater peace, and a more of like a fascination or an awe of God. So the first thing, it is good for you. The second thing is that it's good for people. My favorite services here, can anyone guess? It's not Christmas, it's not Easter, although I love those two. It's actually baptism services. Last year, we had two high school students get baptized. And let me tell you, it was awesome, okay? Because I got to see, I mean, wonderful people, but you see, like, ordinary stories, people with ordinary lives encountering an, like, extraordinary God. You know, you hear people say yes to him, and that just it fires you up. Whether you're in a grumpy mood, it does something to you. It does something good for them. When I became a Christian, all I remember is that my friend was, you know, helping me and walking with me through this. All he saw was, Steve said yes to God, that's exciting. Now, for me, what that was like was, you know, I just received the greatest gift of all. That's what it was like for me. And when we express Jesus, other people get to experience the greatest gift of all. So when we express Jesus, it's good for us, it's good for people. And lastly, it's good for God. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus talks about what it's like when people who don't know him, they come to him. And he says that when these people come to him, there's a celebration. And the story of the prodigal son is in Luke chapter 15, a son who runs away and comes back. And Jesus is saying that, it's like when people like this come back, to in this case the Father, God, there was like a party, a celebration that goes on. It says that, you know, when they found out the son was coming back, they killed a fattened calf to celebrate, okay? Now, the fattened calf, when you're fattening it for like a celebration, you don't just... Like, that's like your nest. You know, like, do you guys have like a money jar, or like you stick money under your bed? You're saving for an occasion. This was the occasion that was worth splurging on for God, because someone who didn't know him got to know him. That's how God celebrates. God takes that very seriously because people matter to him. It's good for God as well. Now, this isn't to say that whenever we express Jesus to the world, someone's going to commit their lives to him. That'd be awesome, but it's just not like that. But this is what, you know, we hope that things will accumulate to, or build up to. We want to see more people do life with him. This is, Jesus said, like, you people, he tells his church, you will be my witnesses in the world. He tells them, go make disciples of the world. Make students of me, people who commit themselves to me. So if telling people about God, expressing Jesus is really good, how do we do it now? There are four things. The first thing is that we need to know our story, and we need to be able to share our story. And I think sometimes we just don't know our story well enough, and we have to ask ourselves, when has God encountered you? What was the experience like, and how is it different doing life with God now? What's that like? Because this is exactly what people will tell you, will ask you, and you need an answer to say, like, hey, you know, doing life with God's better because X, Y, and Z. So learning our story is very important. And you know what? Sometimes we think it's awkward to share our story. We live in one of the most interesting times right now. And like, Kitchener is like so multicultural, so pluralistic. Like, everyone comes from a different background that it's actually not strange to tell a personal story anymore. You know, something that's personal to you, it's actually what I think people are yearning for. It's not too hard to say, like, hey, you know, I am a Christian, this is kind of weird, but can I pray for you? Or, you know, hey, tell me what I can pray for you for. Or, you know, saying, hey, do you want to go to our church? It's a place that's kind of encouraging, but do you want to be a part of that? Just, you know, 10:30 on a Sunday morning, pretty good time if you ask me. It's not too strange to tell people. And, you know, it's not our responsibility that something happens. I was told to pray for the person, the gas clerk. It was my job to do it, but whatever happens after that, that's on God. If something's going to happen, not my responsibility. I can't even do that if I tried. It's up to God to do things, but it's up to us to be faithful in what we do. The second thing is that we just show God's love to the world. My dad, I told you, he works at a car dealership, and his customers love him. Every year, they're like, growing up, there were like so many gifts under the tree, Christmas tree, and I don't even know who these people are. Like, they're just wine bottles. They're like, oh my gosh, we don't even drink. Like, we can do all this stuff. There's so much like wine you can use for glazing like chicken. And my dad, he purposes in his heart to share God to the world. One day, my dad, he had a customer come in. Someone said, hey, do you know Edna? You know your customer, such and such? He said, yeah, of course I know Edna. And he's like, well, she's on her deathbed, and she's calling for you. She wants to see you. My dad said, okay, you know what? I'll be there tomorrow night. I can go there. He had a couple days to do it. And what kind of person calls their service mechanic on their deathbed? It's like, who does that? No, but my dad has been expressing Jesus' love to people for so many years, occasion after occasion, that it's made a difference. And maybe that's all you do. Maybe it's, who can you be kind to? You know, sometimes sharing God's love is just as basic as bringing a water bottle for someone in the morning. You're having a rough day, you forgot yours, I got two. Those are things that we can do. Just, how has God been generous to you? Be generous to other people. I'll tell you, when someone brings me a water bottle, very thankful. Bob. Lastly, third, Craig and I invited, we have a goal that we want to see 30 people be baptized. And you know what? That number, I'll be honest, that's scary for me, okay? That is scary. And at the beginning of the year, we said, why don't you make a list of 5 people you want to pray for? You pray for 5 people. Be intentional about it. And you know, for the rest of the year, we want to teach you how to be equipped to be a witness, how to share Jesus with the world, the people around you. You know, 30 people is scary, but you know what's not scary? The more people that buy into that and want to do that, I actually feel like, okay, this is actually pretty simple now. We picked a number because it's almost unrealistic to do on our own. We can only say we did it with God. But pick people to pray for, people who don't know God, and just pray for them. Lauren and I do this thing. We pick two people every night and pray for them. And remember, it's up to God what God does with that afterwards. Our job is just to be faithful. And lastly, I think some of us don't really know how to experience Jesus, express Jesus, because it's been so long since we've had a fresh encounter or a fresh experience with him. And I'll tell you, that's, you know what, that's a little more normal, but it's okay, because you know what? What you can do about that is just say, God, like, I want to express you, but you know what, though? Realistically, I need help. Can you give me an encounter with you? And like, what's God going to say? No. He doesn't say no. Like, he's like, yeah, man, let's do that. Let me show you how good I am. Let me let you experience life with me. So sometimes all we need is a fresh encounter. Sometimes the reason that people don't know God is because we just haven't said it. It's they don't know God because, like, you know, we just haven't told them yet. So here's the main barrier I find. We live in a culture, the reason why we don't express Jesus isn't because we don't know that, like, oh, well, it's good for people, it's good for God, it's good for me. I think we're all aware of that on some level. Like, this is almost elementary, that, like, it's no one's thinking, like, man, you're right, it's actually good for God. Like, no one here is saying that. Everyone knows on some level it's good. But the reasons why we don't, you know what? There is a strong message that the world gives us right now. It's a get rich, live comfortable. Like, our culture, you know, we are obsessed with getting to that level that we want to get to and then just coasting. Sometimes, you know, you see this when people get in relationships. I would love to be with that person. I want to win that guy, win that girl. Then after that, we have it. It's like, oh, okay. Or sometimes it's when you get that job. After that, it's just like, okay, I got the job. Now, you know, or get that career or get in that program at school, whatever. There is this message in the world that says that when you get what you want, you could start coasting. Get rich and get comfortable. After that, do you know what that translates to in the church? It's get what you need from God and then live comfortably. And, you know, sometimes that, like, when I thought, like, that really resonates with me. Get what you want from God and then just get comfortable. See, we're obsessed with being set once we need what we need. And the reason is because is that when the mission isn't our mission, like, this is God's mission to, you know, that all people would know him. When it comes down to that, if it's not our mission, when it gets kind of hard or awkward or inconvenient, it's most likely to be the first thing that goes. But God is saying, no, this is the mission I called you to, because your identity and this mission, it's synonymous. You can't separate them. If you're called to a if you're a Christian, you are called to a purpose and a mission and a mandate to reach people, to express Jesus. Now, I'm going to be lying if I said that this wasn't something that was easy, okay? I think that it's way easier to just have God's mission when it's convenient. Afterwards, putting it down when things are hard? Yeah, I get that. There's one story in the Bible that actually really gives me encourage and really gives me strength. I have it up here. It's Mark 14. I'm just going to read it all to you. Should have had this ahead of time, I'm sorry. Mark 14, verse 32. The night before Jesus died, he was in a garden praying. He knew he was going to die. Other gospel writers say that. He was so stressed that he was sweating drops of blood. And scientifically, that's a thing that can happen if you're under that much pressure. The story goes is that they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and fell to the ground. He prayed that, if it was possible, the awful hour that was awaiting him might pass by him. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine." See, Jesus knew that he was going to die. There is no more stressful moment than this moment in Jesus' life. He knew that he's going to die, and he just wanted, like, God, if there's a way out of this, like, please, let's go that route. Otherwise, if there isn't, let's let your will be done. See, Jesus' most dire moment of facing death, he knew that life with us is worth more. God's mission that he can have us is worth more than not being with us. It was actually worth dying for. And here's the glorious thing in all of it, is that even through death, he got what he wanted. He got us. He's getting us. And to Jesus, for some reason, that is worth it. And that's amazing. So when I think, like, wow, this is hard, I just remember that Jesus was so committed to this mission. The God that's calling you is so committed to this that it's worth dying for, that he can be with you. Jesus expressed it, and he's calling us to express it. And that's where we are today. I'm just going to pray, and we're going to close. God, I just thank you, Lord, that you love us so much to the point that you would give yourself for us. God, you're calling us to express your love to people, Lord, and we're doing that too. It's not like we've heard this for the first time. God, I pray, Lord, that you give us effectiveness, give us clarity, give us passion, give us drive, give us opportunity for those people that we want to see know you, Lord. It's good for them, Lord. It's good for us that we would be more aware of you, Lord. And it's good for you, Lord. This is what you want. This is your mission. So, Lord, empower us, Lord. Inspire us. Call us. Give us a fresh encounter, whatever it takes, Lord. Please give us that, Lord. Help us just to share you with the world, Lord. It's too good not to bring out there. Amen.